This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I've been working with a nurse dietitian for the last 6 months, and it's been life-changing. I've lost weight, healed my relationship with food, and have way more energy. Working with a dietitian online to create a personalized nutrition plan was so easy thanks to Nourish. The best part? I pay $0 out of pocket because Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's raged, or 3 years while it's raged. No one else has been able to bring something together like what we saw today, because Donald Trump is the only leader in the world that can. So no one is being sidelined here. But President Trump is in a position that he campaigned on to initiate a process that could bring about an end to this conflict. And from that could emerge some very positive things for the United States, for Europe, for Ukraine, for the world. But first it begins by the end of this conflict. And so the only thing President Trump's trying to do is bring about peace. It's what he campaigned on. It's something the world should be thanking President Trump for doing. He's been able to achieve what for two and a half, three years, no one else has been able to achieve, which is to begin this process, a serious process. Obviously, a lot of work remains before we have a result. So, but President Trump's the only one that can do it.
Secretary of State Marco Rubio talking about the Trump administration's efforts in bringing peace to the Russia-Ukraine conflict. We watched Joe Biden and his 4 years of the administration, at least the part where this conflict was taking place, make the full commitment to never stop sending money that way. But you didn't really hear a lot about forceful, peaceful, you know, initiations, the goal to actually stop the war. It seemed like the goal was to fund the Ukraine side of the war. And it looks like there's a change of wind here in what's taking place in this tumultuous part of the world. Let's talk to our friend Jim Carafano about it, the senior counselor to the president and E.W. Richardson Fellow for International Engagement at the Heritage Foundation. Jim, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks, sir. Thanks for having me.
Of course. You know, when you were watching the Trump administration navigate the Russia-Ukraine conflict, and we knew during the campaign, Donald Trump said very boastfully he could get this war done and over with very quickly. Is he making good on that promise in the negotiations he's engaging in right now?
Well, you know, he said he could end the war in 24 hours, and the reality is he could have if Putin had said yes. Putin did not say yes. But the reality is when the war ends, Putin will get exactly what he could have gotten if he had said yes in the first 24 hours. I've only been watching people deal with the Russians for 50 years, so really, what do I know? But the Russians are very predictable negotiators. First of all, the Russians will always start out by asking for everything, because their goal is to always get everything at the negotiating table that they can't win on the battlefield. And the Russians like to understand their adversaries. When their adversaries are willing to give them something for nothing, the Russians know they have a patsy and they ask for more. So we shouldn't be surprised that the Russian position coming out of the box was, well, we want everything. And they're likely going to get nothing, get absolutely nothing. The United States war, and no one should give the Russians any single thing at the negotiating table that they don't own on the battlefield. Acknowledging that what the Russians have done on the battlefield and that nobody's willing to underwrite their complete and utter defeat, that's just acknowledging reality. Having said that, making concessions to the Russians is a huge mistake. That only invites more conflict in the future. I think the administration gets that. After all, they live with these guys for 4 years. They know how to negotiate that. People forget that Donald Trump is probably one of the most experienced leaders on the world stage today. He was president for 4 years. He probably knows more world leaders than anybody else. He spent 4 years preparing for this job. This is not this, you know, guy from New York that does real estate, you know, walking into this negotiation. This is one of the world's most experienced and, quite honestly, one of the most talented leaders and the head of the most powerful country on earth and, at the current time, one of the most popular presidents that the United States has ever had. This is a guy going into the game, and there are 52 cards in the deck, and he's got 52, and the other guy's holding a joker.
That's very well put. Jim Carafano with us right now. I think that the people like me who are listening to experts like you try to make sense of what's going on over there and questioning what the American responsibility and involvement needs to be in this conflict. I just very simply put, Jim, I want to know who's the good guy and who's the bad guy. And I'm asking you to tell me, in this conflict between Russia and Ukraine, Putin and Zelensky, is there a good guy and a bad guy?
Well, absolutely. I mean, this is not even up for discussion. I mean, the Russians invaded a country without pretext, without anything other than the thought of naked aggression. There is no moral equivalency here. And, you know, when people say, well, the U.S. is going to be, you know, neutral, they're going to be tough on both sides, that's nonsense. First of all, the Ukrainians want exactly what the United States wants. They're realistic. They want a ceasefire. They want the fighting to stop. There is no argument between them and Donald Trump on anything. There's only one party here, which is the Russians. And the only thing, it only gets worse for the Russians. The only hope that they have is that they hold out and the West falls apart, or you know, the United States gets bored and walks away. And I can tell you, that's not going to happen. And you know why it's not going to happen? Because of Donald Trump. Donald Trump is not going to walk into a negotiation and saying, I just don't want a deal. I want a deal that's good, that defends my interests. And then the other guy says, no, you can't have that. And then Donald Trump says, okay, forget it. I'll just leave and get nothing. I don't care. I mean, come on.
Jim, we got a commenter here who wants to know, like, what kind of say does Ukraine have in these negotiations? Russia obviously invading Ukraine, the United States coming in with Donald Trump now over Joe Biden. That's a very different negotiating situation.
Right.
What's Ukraine's role and responsibility here?
Well, I think Ukraine and the United States are already of one mind on this conflict. Of course, the Ukrainian president says there's no deal without me, and I'm not going to sign up for anything until I see the thing. But essentially, Ukraine already knows what the U.S. position is. We want a ceasefire. We want the fighting to stop. We want to save as many Ukrainians as possible. We are not going to demand for all of the return of Ukrainian land. The Russians aren't going to give it all back. Now, the Russians own you some Ukrainian land. The Ukrainians own some Russian land. They might want to trade some of that with each other. We don't care. The Ukrainians already know this, and the Ukrainians know that the United States wants to invest in the country after the war. That we're going to continue to support NATO. So anything you hear from the Ukrainians, which says, well, you know, we want to say and everything, that's for domestic consumption to reassure people. It's not speaking to the United States. They already know the United States really has their back on this. And I know people say, like, well, why do we care? Well, you know, the same people who say, why do we care, voted for Donald Trump. And Donald Trump says we are better off with a free and independent Ukraine that's not controlled by Russia. And the reason why he says that is for one very simple reason, not because of money laundering, but because it's in U.S. interests that Russia be stopped. Because that makes our job in Europe easier. It makes our allies' job easier. It allows us to post more resources on China. There's no scenario where the United States is better off with the Ukraine that's conquered by the Russians. Trump's just a realist. He doesn't want to see innocent Ukrainians die. Of course, he'd like to see a free and independent country. But in the end, Donald Trump is going to do exactly what he said. I'm going to put America's interests first. And it's in America's interest that there be a free and independent Ukraine. You know, arguably, to be honest, you know, we'd probably be better off if we just let the Russians die forever. because the longer they fought, the weaker they get, and the less of a problem they are for us. This isn't about what's best. Honestly, Trump is actually doing something by trying to stop the war and putting his own credibility on the line as president of the United States, because he said, I'm going to end this. So he is putting his word, the United States of America, on the line here. That's to save innocent Ukrainian lives. And I wish people were just more appreciative of that.
That's a great perspective. Here with Jim Carafano, the foreign policy expert we speak to each week from the Heritage Foundation. You talked about, you know, obviously Donald Trump's in for what's best for the United States, but you've also mentioned the allies. Donald Trump is maybe sort of icing out some of our the European countries who want to be involved in these Ukraine talks. Emmanuel Macron hosts this emergency meeting of European leaders yesterday to discuss whatever the plan might be with this war. What do you make of Donald Trump's decision and the reaction of these leaders out of Europe who feel a little bit left out now in these negotiation processes?
Yeah, well, look, they're just a bunch of yahoos. First of all, look, you can't have a meeting with 87 people at the table who don't have 87 equal parts in this fight. Like, Luxembourg is going to have a seat at the table? I mean, really? And their opinion is going to carry? That actually dilutes the strength of the negotiating position. So meeting with these actors individually actually strengthens the U.S.'s role. And if you actually look at this emergency meeting that Macron called in Paris, did they talk at all about the things that J.D. Vance talked about? Like, what are you doing about your democracy? No. Basically, they got together and they said a bunch of things which were actually reaffirming of exactly what Donald Trump wants. He wants a stronger Europe. So the Macron meeting actually only strengthened the U.S. negotiating position against the Russians, because the Europeans say they're going to pony up more for their own defense and pony up more to support Ukraine, which is, by the way, exactly what President Trump wants. So J.D. Vance went to Berlin and scolded these guys, and then they, you know, run and made a meeting and basically said, we support Donald Trump. That's what happened.
Jim Carafano speaking with us right now. Kind of to wrap this up, you know, we've got what's going on in Russia, Ukraine, which is a geographically much closer situation for a lot of these European countries, of course. But we've seen some effects, some conservative, politically conservative movement in Europe, certainly in Italy with Meloni. Is there a Trump effect happening politically in other countries right now?
I mean, I would say it's like, you know, Trump is like Red Bull, right? So it's these guys have already been drinking coffee all morning, and then somebody handed them a Red Bull. So there has been a European conservative movement that's rising in Europe and in Canada, by the way, and also in Latin America. Trump has just added a lot of Red Bull to that, because people like him and Maloney and Modi and Malay have demonstrated both success at the ballot box, but also success on the ground. And so what conservatives and populists can do is they can stand up and say, look, it's not just that we say we have a different way of doing things, but look, the people that are following the agenda that we're promoting, they're winning. They're successful. Part of the reason why you saw this incredibly negative feedback on Vance's speech is you were talking to all the wrong people. So European elites are, you know, their hair is on fire. And, of course, in America, we're just listening to this and we're going, oh, the Europeans hate us. But what we actually never did was talk to Europeans. I have a network of hundreds of European conservatives. And, you know, when I emailed them about the speech, all the emails I got back were positive. I mean, like, one was like maybe, you know, 80, you know, 70, 30, you know, positive. I didn't like this. But overwhelmingly, European conservatives said, oh, my God, this is exactly what we have said if we had a chance to yell at those yahoos in here.
And really, what's at the, like, what is the heart of whatever that Trump or populist effect might be that other countries find so attractive? Social, economic, what is it about?
It's, you know, essentially good governance. It's government that actually delivering on the needs of the people. And, you know, it's funny because that you ask that question, because, you know, I go all over the world, whether I'm in Africa or Latin America or Europe, I often hear many of the same issues. Why is the government telling me what my family policies should be and what kind of genders I should have? Why is the government telling me we can't have affordable energy? Why is the government telling me we have to have open borders and massive illegal immigration? why can't I have a good life? Why can't I work hard all day and then go home at the end and benefit from the fruits of my own labor? You know, why are people saying, you know, kill the Jews? I mean, didn't we decide like decades ago that that was a bad idea? So, you know, no matter where you go, whether you call yourself center right or conservative or classical liberal or NatCon or FreeCon or, you know, neocon, I don't care. Everybody says these, you know, why isn't government delivering for us? And that really was the message that J.D. Vance was saying, kind of the emperor has no clothes, is you are not delivering for your own people. The purpose of government is to not weaponize government to destroy your political opposition and eliminate civil liberties in your country. That's not what government is for. And so the reason why the Trump message resonates is people want a government that works for them. And people say, well, sometimes, well, this person is a crazy guy. And, you know, they're taking money from the Russians or they're in bed with it. And you know what? Maybe they are a crazy guy. Maybe they are taking money from the Russians or whatever. But why are people voting for them? They're not voting for them because they're taking money from the Russians. They're voting for them because their governments are terrible, and they're going to vote for somebody who says we can do better.
You know, it's interesting to see globally a commonality among the sensibilities that we all have in this human race. And some people might call it common sense, but it's great to see it kind of coming back right. across
countries. And there are people that try to exploit that, right? You know, like, you know, for example, you know, the scammer that calls you on the phone and says, well, don't you want to help out the people suffering from wildfires in California? You know, please send us $50. And you do because you want to help out, but it's just a scam. So there are people out there who are, you know, what I would call scam populists, right? I want to solve all your problems, and they really don't. They're working for the Chinese, they're working for the Russians, they're really Nazis, I don't know. But overwhelmingly, the rise of populism in the world today, whether it's in Latin America or the United States or Canada or Europe, is because people have seen what is over the horizon with globalist governments and these elites telling them how to live their lives. And they have said, that is not what we signed up for. We signed up for a government that is by the people and for the people, not a government that is over the people.
Man, well put. We appreciate you, Jim. Thanks for being with us today. We look forward to having you back each week.
All right. Thanks, my friend.
Take care. Bye-bye. Jim Carafano, senior counselor to the president and E.W. Richardson Fellow for International Engagement at the Heritage Foundation. When Ethan called him, he answered and he said, I've been waiting by the phone all day to hear your voice. That's what he said to Ethan. And I was like, Ethan, come in here and do that interview. Isn't he great? It's so awesome to be able to have Jim on the show with us weekly and to get his thoughts on things. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, Dave Murray gives us an update on the snow, on the weather, on what's coming next. Are we in the intermission here? I have the... It just looks cold and wintry out there, but I don't see a winter mix based on the very small sliver of crack that I can see outside the window. We'll get the latest from 97.1 Chief Meteorologist Dave Murray next. Don't go away.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Just a little bebop for your snowy ride home after work today.
And Rocksteady.
This is the whole mood that I have when I'm driving home in snow and ice-laden roads in traffic trying to get home.
Mm-hmm.
That's not it at all.
You're just sort of dancing.
Yeah. What's the weather? Okay. Was the weather bad coming in for you today?
Yep.
Did you just take it slow or did...
Yeah, I had to take it slow.
Your car
there
sitting
was no
somewhere
option.
On 64 right now?
I'm thankful it started.
Really?
Yeah, I took a couple tries.
Okay. Ooh. Well, we know that there is a two-parter situation here for the storm, and because Ryan Wiggins refused to go back up onto the roof and report that it was, in fact, currently snowing...
Dave Murray's up there.
We sent Dave Murray to the roof, and we're going to find out what it's doing up there. The 97.1 Chief Meteorologist, our friend Dave Murray. Welcome back to the show, Dave. Good to have you here.
Thank you. Get Wiggins back up on the roof.
Yep, go. Right now,
Ryan. I want him up there for the next
You want company,
hours.
Don't you?
You said it's the chief speaking right now. You salute and you go, Ryan Wiggins.
That's true.
So it's 1:30 right now here in St. Louis. It looks like maybe we're in the middle. Tell us what's coming next.
Yeah, the stuff this morning was just kind of a reinforcing shot of the Arctic cold coming down, so kind of setting up what's coming. There is a big batch of snow, central Missouri, all the way down into portions of Arkansas, Oklahoma, back into Kansas. That's the main system. However, the cold, dry air from the Arctic typically wins in this situation when it comes to the St. Louis area. So we have this really fine line of absolutely no snow, a little snow, and a lot of snow. So let's put St. Louis, obviously, right in the middle, starting late this afternoon, continuing for a good portion of the night. It will be a powdery snow, like a Rocky Mountain snow. We should see about 3 inches of that. You go north, there won't be any snow at all. And when I say go north about 50 miles. You go south and along and south of a Jefferson City, Farmington, Chester line, 8 to 12 inches of snow.
Oh, man.
It's a tremendous difference. And even there, it's going to be a light, dry, fluffy type snow. Easy to blow around. Easy to remove. But at the same time, temperatures are going to be around 10 degrees. So even though we're not going to see a lot of snow here in the St. Louis area, any kind of snow, especially extra slick in these kind of super cold temperatures that we have right now, and they're not going anywhere, there will be slick spots on the roads, all the roads, all the side streets, major highways, the whole thing. Everything will be slicking up as we get into the late afternoon rush and overnight tonight. It's all gone in the morning. However, there'll still be some snow flurries, a little bit of light snow around on Wednesday, and temperatures in the teens.
Yikes.
You know what this reminds me of, Dave Murray, is remember last week at the same time, everybody was going, we're not really sure what this is going to be. And then it turned out to be nothing. Is there a chance that could happen?
It wasn't nothing.
It was next to nothing.
It wasn't much. But if you remember correctly, we said it was not going to be much.
When he says we, he means him.
I cannot account for who you're listening to and what phone you're looking at.
Dave, none of us, if you're talking about Ryan Wiggins, none of us know what he's listening to. None of us know at all. So the timing for
there's weird stuff going on in that head.
Yeah, that's documentable. When do the roads, in your mind, when do the roads start getting bad?
Well, you know, like this morning, there were a lot of slick spots this morning, and we did not have a lot of snow. So once it starts to snow, we have to make the assumption that the roads are going to get slick very quickly. So use that as the timing. If it starts to snow as we get into the late afternoon rush, roads will go downhill very, very quickly.
So people right now listening, 1:30, if you can get home from work, maybe do that right now?
Yeah, I would say, let's say over the next 2 hours, if you've got the opportunity to get away from your work or school or whatever the case may be, yeah, I'd say, forget it. We're not going to see a lot of snow, but it's really, really cold out there, and things will get a little bit messy. The majority of it is going to fall during the nighttime hours, so we've got that going for us. But give the road crews a chance to hit it. But again, overnight, we're going to be hanging right around 8-9 degrees. So a lot of the chemicals are going to really struggle on this.
Dave, when you said that roads will go downhill quickly, does that count if you live up on the bluff? No, really.
He's never going to come back. He's never going to come back on the show.
No. How did I know that was going to be said?
No. Let's just move past
Dave,
that.
Dave, he's going to the roof. Don't worry about it.
There's a real question here, though, and this is for my kids. Is this a good sledding snow? Is it a good snowball snow? Is
it
good
for anything?
It's not a good snowball snow. It's not a good snowman snow. But a piece of cardboard, flying saucer, like that, excellent.
All right.
Excellent sledding snow.
All right.
That's good to know. All right.
Unless you live downhill.
Shut up.
Down the road.
Shut up. He's not going to come back on the show.
Downhill is great.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, if you live uphill, then it's a bad snow.
Wow.
After the show,
you
can
do this every day.
I don't know. I needed a 4-day weekend, and now I need another 4-day weekend. Well, Dave, we appreciate the updates. People need to heed those warnings and make sure they're safe. And I think it's also important for, like what you said, to get out of the way so the road crews can do their thing. There are a lot of cars on the roads. That makes it more difficult for them to do that.
Exactly.
All right.
You know what? I'm going to give you some hope.
Okay.
We should be in the 50s come Monday.
Oh, man. I'm just going to mentally go there right now.
There you go.
Thanks, Dave. Yeah. We appreciate you.
Okay. No dancing while you're driving, by the way.
Fair enough. We'll appreciate that.
Dave said so.
All right, Ryan, go to the roof and go get Dave.
Okay.
Talk to you soon, Dave. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
97.1 Chief Meteorologist Dave Murray. How much does he know about you? Is this all from your stint on the Dave Glover show?
I think it's from when I was on Glover. Yeah, we.
I'm sure he listens to our show every day, but in the off chance he doesn't.
No, he came in one time, and
really?
Yeah, he came in once, and we were just sort of doing a studio visit, and I got an autograph from him for my dad because my dad just is a weather nut.
It must have been a really big deal when he came in because he and Dave Glover famously had never met for years and years and years.
And I think that was that time.
Yeah.
And every time I go down in my basement now, or my parents' basement, to get usually, you know, get a drink down there. They have a refrigerator down there. I walk past a picture
really
of Dave Murray
part of the story.
That's signed to Bob Wiggins.
Bob Wiggins.
And I'm always like, oh yeah, that's cool. Murray. It's right
and
there.
And you and Dave have that moment.
Yeah, me and Dave Murray have that moment that
on
he doesn't know.
On your way to get a drink from the refrigerator.
Yeah, usually I'm getting a Yoo-Hoo.
There's some conversations we have where I'm like, I'd like a map of this conversation. I'm going to share a picture here on the YouTube live chat. And just to let you know, last night I went and visited the Monroe County Lincoln Day event. Now, have you've been to a Lincoln Day dinner?
Yes.
Ryan, Brad, you've been to Lincoln Day dinners.
I feel like this is a setup, though.
Yeah, it's George Lincoln. No. I was invited to come out there. I was very honored to do that. Haven't done as much in Monroe County. I've been going to a lot of different places. Jersey County, I went there a couple weeks ago. I'm going to be going to Macoupin County. If you are in those areas, please sign up for the Macoupin County event. I'll be speaking out there in a few weeks, maybe in a month. Well, Monroe County's event was last night. And what Monroe County does And I'm just like learning a lot more about Monroe County. First of all, Republicans hold all the seats.
Sweet.
In Monroe County. And a lot of times if I go to these events, I'm like, here's what we need to do, guys. We need to get motivated. We need to... Blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you guys already did it all. You tell me what I need to know.
Yeah.
It was not your traditional round table, linen, stage, Lincoln Day dinner. It was at a bar.
It was like the waste management tour.
No. Oh, okay. It was at a bar called the Fountain Inn.
Oh, okay.
Which was amazing. Here's what you're going to do. You're going to get... The next time you're looking for like an adventurous date, I want you to find the Fountain Inn, which I think is in Valmire.
Ooh, I'm actually writing this down.
And you're driving through the country and you're driving along Bluff Road. And I've been on Bluff Road a bazillion times in my life because Bluff Road goes right there, 157 with the Collinsville, you know, Maryville, Edwardsville bluffs right there. These are different bluffs and it's a different Bluff Road. And it was just stunningly beautiful because it was kind of getting into golden hour. And you're driving through the fields on the right, bluffs on the left. It's just like the PCH, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
A little snow cover over the field, so not completely white, but just the way it highlights everything, highlights all the ground up on the bluffs. Just absolutely stunningly beautiful. And you're driving, and then all of a sudden, there's the bar. It's just out there.
Cool.
And it's a really cool bar. They got TVs up there. The people were just amazing. And, you know, it wasn't a huge space. There might have been 100 people in there. I'm not 100% sure. It was not a huge space, but it was a fish fry.
So was it people like riding the bull and like Coyote Ugly, or was it fancy?
Maybe in the back that I didn't see. I can't rule it out. Okay. No, it's not fancy.
Okay.
But I mean, it's like the right kind of, it's just the absolute right speed. It's the Fountain Inn.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Like you just come up on a place from nowhere.
Yes.
Usually that's pretty cool.
And you know, you think like some sort of dive bar hole in the wall place. It was really nice and well put together inside. Like I said, big televisions up if you wanted to watch a game or something. But out in the middle of nowhere in Valmire, Illinois, which I used to play Valmire in sports when I was in high school. Valmire was in our conference. And just the best people. And when I was sitting there, it wasn't like, Annie, stand up and, you know, do your 20-minute speech. I've had people be like, you go like 45 minutes. I'm like, good night. 45 minutes? Okay. I'm here to do whatever you want. Some people, like sometimes I'll MC. I'm always like, what can I do to help make this event? And this time, John, the guy who runs the Macoupin County Republican Party, I think I said that right. He was like, I was just thinking maybe I'd introduce you and then maybe ask you some questions and you could take some questions from the crowd. And I was like, sure, that sounds like fun. So I sat there and answered some questions, talked a little bit about how I got into where I am right now. And the first thing that I said, and when I was sitting up in front of these people, I just realized, like, it's February of 2025. Donald Trump's the president. I'm around the best people that Southern Illinois has to offer. And, you know, these groups exist in all these counties, but you get into this room, it's just happy people. People are smiling. People are talking. People are, you know, hugging when they walk in the room. There's fish fry going on at a bar with sports on the TV and everything. And I'm just like, what do the Democrat parties look like right now?
I think most of them are getting defunded because they were government. But I can tell you that they don't look as much like that.
I just was looking around at these folks that were there that I was so honored to be able to go there and meet. And I'm just like, this is the right place. These are the right people. And if you were to pluck anybody out who was like, I don't know about the Republican Party. I don't know about that. And put them in there. They would, at the end of the night, be like, these are great. This is great. What have I been missing? There is joy. There is happiness. It helps that Donald Trump's the president. But we're winning right now, and we're winning with the right things. And, of course, like I said, in Monroe County, they got it figured out there. They've got a wonderful county. I think they said that they have 34,000 people in the whole county. So it's a smaller county. It's easier to do those things. But they have great leadership. They have generational leadership in the Monroe County Republican Party. And you just go to an event like this. I think it's important to take note from the 4 years that we've been dealing with trying to push back and resist against what has been shoved upon us. I think it's really important when you're in those moments and you're like, gosh, this is good, to make sure that you remember and acknowledge the fact that right now it's good. And then use that as a catalyst to go for anybody who's around you who's curious about why you seem to be in such a good mood or to be feeling high on this, because good night, I'm watching some people just, I told you guys know I'm now a Reddit fiend. I just sit and read Reddit all the time at night when I'm trying to sleep. It's bad for my sleep cycle. Some people are absolutely distraught over this, but I think most people are watching what's going on, and whether they'll publicly admit it or not right now, they're like, this is pretty awesome. How do we get those people who maybe went out on a limb and supported Donald Trump in this last election, or knew that when they didn't support Kamala Harris in the last election, that that was a quiet vote of confidence for Donald Trump that they didn't actually have to own? How do you get those people to a fish fry in Valmyer, Illinois, to go, these are kind of my people? And it was wonderful. So I told you that they asked questions. The second question that I asked was from this guy here in the middle.
Oh, we see here.
And he goes, what about this Wiggins guy?
Was that the whole question?
The second question I asked, what about this Wiggins guy? I think the question went something like this. Is he really like that?
No, you told him no, right? This is all a show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I get off air and I'm actually pretty darn smart.
That's the word you came up with as the converse to what you are on the air?
Uh-huh. Well, yeah. Yeah, I don't think I come off as the wisest person on air.
Oh, you come off as a...
Go ahead.
Not the wisest.
Oh, okay.
What about this Wiggins guy? Is he really like that? And I gave my explanation. And
you just skipped that part?
Yeah, okay. A little bit. You had to be there. Okay. You got to come to the next fish fry,
man. Yes, I will. I wrote it down.
Everybody wanted to know why you guys weren't there. And they wanted to see you guys as well. But I was really disgusted by how many people told me how much they like you guys.
It brings me joy.
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm letting you know. These individuals, they were great guys. Everybody there was great. And yes, Ryan, you have a lot of fans in Monroe County. Brad, you do too.
I get a lot. Whenever I go to an event, I get a lot of questions. Same thing. Where's Brad? And I'm always like, he's a good guy. He really should.
He's a man of God. He's working in the fields.
Right, right. That's what I say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's actually a lot smarter than he comes off on air.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's what you say. I don't think anyone's ever come up to me and like, is Brad really like that? But you, Ryan, it's every other question. But thank you, Monroe County, for having me out. It was wonderful. Go, like, just put for an evening. If you're like just trying to go somewhere and get out and go on a little adventure, go find the Fountain Inn in Valmyer and tell them that Annie sent you. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Annie Fry Show. Follow Annie on X at Annie Fry Show.
Give me my.
So did you listen to the new protest song?
Yes, I did. Listen to the whole thing. Standing in my kitchen last night.
And?
It's a banger.
I think we're going to play it in the 2 o'clock hour. Can we play it? I haven't been able to. I was around middle school girls all weekend, so every once in a while I'd start listening to something like that, and I'm like, I can't. I don't know where it's going to go.
I don't think there was anything in it that was objectionable, like, for FCC purposes.
Which side are you on? Have you thought of that this weekend?
Yeah, I was singing it all weekend still. Put a beat behind that thing. It's actually pretty catchy.
We got a lot of traction on that.
Yeah.
And that was one of the things that came up over the weekend was the which side are you on thing. My daughter had found it. And by the end of it, kids are like, oh, I want to hear it. And I'm like, no. No, you don't.
The kids love dubstep. You put anything to dubstep and they're just like catnip.
That's a lot of metaphors.
Well, no, dubstep isn't a metaphor. Dubstep is a metaphor for dubstep.
Is there any, I mean, I've been to rallies. I've been to protests before. I've never been to like a hostile protest. Usually the protests I go to are for causes that I believe in, and they're actually pretty positive and happy. It's just like a constant dirge on the left right now. Where do they think, you know, maybe these songs are really just intended for the audience that's there.
And I'm then, sure it
and is. Then you, when you put it on video, but don't you know it's going to be on video?
Yeah, but there's a real thing here, and churches get caught in this a lot, where if you're just talking to your congregation, whatever you're saying, there's no problem. But if somebody clips it and takes it out of context, they can make you look really crazy. So that's probably a little bit of what's going on.
Do you think that the reaction on social media is going to encourage more of it or less of it?
I think we're at the pinnacle right now. Mm-hmm. I don't think we're going to see a whole lot more of these because they're getting made fun of pretty bad.
Here's the Ryan Wiggins version.
Oh, which side are you on? Which side are you on?
Tell me.
Which side are you on? We'll fight against Joe. We'll fight Elon Musk. No, we must get within our walls. We'll fight from dawn to dusk. Oh, which side are you on? Which side are you on?
Tell me.
Which side are you on? Which side are you on? Trump's coming for our union.
Okay, I can't do it anymore. That's enough.
That's right, where it gets really good, though.
We have to play this. We have to play this. From a listener of the Annie Fry Show, tweeted this out. You guys didn't play this on Friday, did you?
No.
All right. One of our listeners, and I'm going to give you his handle on X here, TJ_Martin55. He put this together, and he tweeted at us, and it's good.
Well, the whining continues, so I just had to take it one more step.
Not awesome.
It was really good.
I could listen
There's a huge difference. It's not just with the lyrics. It's with the guy singing can sing. There's a big difference between that lady.
I also really appreciated the fact that his guitar was in tune, because a lot of times people will do something like this and it's like, oh, you need to just put that high E up just a little bit more. And it wasn't. It was great. And I appreciated that so much. Thank you for sharing that with us and tweeting it to us here on the show, posting it on X, at Annie Fry Show, at Radio Wiggins, at Range Brad. If you are somebody who is on X, maybe you're not super active on it, but you want to follow the show, that's how you can absolutely do that. Let's take a quick break. 2 o'clock hour, the Annie Fry Show, right around the corner. Go vote in our YouTube live chat poll. What's the deal with all the plane crashes? Leave your comments as well on the YouTube chat. We'll read some of those when we come back. So